You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Cody, what do you want people to know about your podcast? I really think you should take this particular space, especially since you are working for free right now for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. Because we do not have access to ESPN employees, I think you should get on your podcast, ESPN employee after ESPN employee, because your podcast would then have an exclusivity that ours cannot attain. You would have an access that we can't have. I think you have to exploit all of those friendships and for your profit, because I don't, we have to ask permission on all this stuff. I don't think you do.
No, in fact, we've done that a little bit. We had Tim Kirchen on the episode before the new one, and he was a delight, as he always is, and very helpful. But, you know, he took care to make sure that he was allowed to do that because of my peripheral proximity to your podcast. And he went through like a little bit of red tape with ESPN and finally got permission that he was allowed to come on my show. So, yeah, we'll do that unabashedly. And somebody even said on Twitter that I should take full advantage of the fact and get all these ESPN people on. So the ones I have a relationship with, or Christopher does, we'll absolutely have on. Yeah, no doubt.
And what do people need to know about the podcast? How did this deal come together with Satellite?
There's a Miami-based channel called Slam Radio that's run by some high school whiz kids. What?
It's Pitbull's school.
Oh,
that's
is it?
Pitbull's channel, yeah. Wow, oh, you could get us Mr. 305. Ooh, Greg, you have to get Pitbull on. Get Pitbull
damn right.
On.
Yeah. It's worldwide. Drive time. Worldwide, baby.
Drive time, Mondays at 5 p.m., starting March 8th.
That's what they tell me. And I don't, you know, it's obviously I'm still a podcast that's going to be available on Apple and Spotify and all that stuff, but yeah, it's sort of a neat to be on SiriusXM. I don't know what'll happen with it or where it'll lead or what it's all about, but interested to see. We've been doing the podcast almost a year since last March, and it's been pretty successful. You know, we're not under the big tent, under the big Le Batard and Friends tent. We're under a tiny little parasol of an umbrella, but we're doing well. Greg Cody Show.
If you were under this tent, you wouldn't be able to have ESPN personalities on. So you have a real opportunity. Dan is right. You have a great opportunity here, Greg.
Yeah, that's a point. We'll continue to milk that cow for sure.
I'm so excited for you. Pitbull knows who you are, probably. Which tent are you more excited to be under? The Dan Le Batard tent or the Pitbull tent now?
Oh, man, that's close. Talk about two Miami legends. Wow, you can't make me decide. I mean, Mr. Worldwide versus Hippo Man over there. I mean, it's a tough competition, I'll tell you that.
What was the Mount Gregmore this week?
Well, it was our 50th overall episode, Billy. Thank you for asking.
Undersell?
Silver anniversary.
Wow.
It was our 50th anniversary, so the Mount Gregmore was an homage to words or letters with 50 in them, like Hawaii 5-0 was in there, 50 Cent was in there, and our Mount Gregmore.
That's
that
great.
How about that?
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Good idea.
Fins at 50.
And of course, number one was Greg Cody's book, Fins at 50.
No, it wasn't. You forgot it. And
I know, I did. I wish it had been, though.
Damn it, boy.
Wow. What a missed opportunity.
So you promoted the book here.
That's right. I think it's in the top 1 billion on Amazon's chart.
So Pitbull called you directly, yes?
We're trying to arrange that. We don't have it lined up
yet. I'm kind of disappointed to hear that he doesn't program his own amateur Sirius satellite radio station.
Well said.
It's an audio medium, Greg. You can't just look at the Zoom and hold your hands up when you guys.
I was flummoxed.
So you just had nothing left in the arsenal.
Was it Lars? Lars reached out to you? It was Lars.
Yeah, I don't know who Lars is.
Larry Million, one of the Dos Amigos.
Sounds like a Swedish guy.
On behalf of Armando.
He does sound like a Swedish guy, Lars.
He does. No, we're going to let's spread that rumor that Pitbull's going to be on the Greg Cody Show. That's something I like to be associated with.
Mike, were you sad after 30 years or 28 years that Daft Punk has left your music life?
Yeah.
Tired.
Yeah, I'm sad. Now, they hadn't really done anything in 8 years, and it was always like a running joke that they would just never go to tour again because they would always be the number one Dream Festival act, and then they just wouldn't play. I really got into them after 2007. I always knew of them. Around the World was a massive hit record, but I really got into them after their Alive tour, which if you haven't listened to that live album, go do it because it's one of the best live albums ever. Best dance act of all time, I think irrefutably. It can't be touched in terms of like their ear for music, identifying samples and making those samples into new works of art. The only act close for me really is like maybe Beastie Boys, but Daft Punk are just so far beyond that. When Kanye West isolates a sample, it's pretty obvious where he's going. No idea where Daft Punk is grabbing some of these great disco 70s tracks and then making all new dance songs. They're just absolute geniuses, and I'm bummed out that I never actually got to see their live show because it's a spectacle. They really changed the game with the Pyramid Show at Coachella. There's a really interesting documentary on the whole thing. I'm bummed, and I truly believe that I won't see them. I know it's a thing in music, but my two of my favorite acts of all time, White Stripes and Daft Punk, I truly believe that they are just done. And unfortunately, I'll never get to see those acts live. And so that was really the sadness. We kind of knew it, but it was kind of like the finality of it all that, oh no, you're not actually going to see Daft Punk. It could, I could see Skeptical Billy maybe because this is usually a play with music acts, but it's not like they're going to top the demand that there was to see Daft Punk play live. It was already at a fever pitch, so I'm just kind of bumming.
You'll see them again. Do you guys have musicians that you like that you're like, you know what, I'm good, no more new music please, let's just stick to the hits, I don't need any more albums after a certain point?
I do because I find that Eminem's new music makes me hate Eminem's old music more. And I'm like, wow, I was really tricked into thinking how good Eminem was. Now, aside from like the actual like content, which is like really jarring if you listen back to it now, it's just, how was this style of rap really, really popular at the time? But rap really goes through stark sonic changes.
Well, tell me what happened to you there, though, because that seems like a really difficult game to age in, and I would be super scared to try to be doing that in my late 40s, even though, you know, whatever, 2 Chainz was 37 not that long ago when he made his reemergence.
But suffice to say, 2 Chainz isn't going to reinvent himself. Once you have an identifiable sound, you got to ride that sound for as long as you can. Lil Jon actually reinvented himself into a DJ, but that Atlanta music that was popular with that Lil Jon ushered in, that's an open and shut era of music. Eminem hasn't really progressed as an artist. When I listen to Justin Timberlake, I kind of get frustrated because I'm like, just work with a different producer. Go out of your comfort zone. The Timbaland beats ain't exactly hitting the way that they did in the mid-2000s. So an artist's ability to evolve with the time sonically is what sets them apart. And Eminem, just with his cadence and his really his just lyrical content, it does not age well to the point that if you hear it now, you actually sour on him at the peak of his powers.
Billy, to answer your question, I'm good. Greg, I'm interested in your thoughts here. I am good with no more Bruce Springsteen songs, mm-hmm. new Springsteen songs. I don't need new Billy Joel, Elton John, Lionel Richie.
I don't need any new Billy Joel.
I don't. Yeah, he still tries to crank him out every now and then.
No, he doesn't. No, he famously just tours the old music.
All right, I was wrong, but I don't need Springsteen anymore. Like, I got enough, okay? I got enough Springsteen.
You saw he's got a podcast now with Barack Obama?
I did.
Did you even know that Bruce Springsteen got a DUI months ago? It was a DWI.
Did you see the claim, though? The claim is he was on a motorcycle and a fan. He took a picture with a fan because this is the first DUI of his life at whatever, 71 years old. And he's claiming that fan just wanted him to do a shot. And so I thought, wow, Bruce, that's the best possible boss framing for just a DUI. I stumbled on my knees out of some place after 6 shots of whiskey. Yeah. The way he framed it was like, of course that's what the boss did. I believe it because he was born in the USA.
He was. There's a disconnect between his claim of I've had 2 shots and what the officer reported, which is a Bruce Springsteen riding his motorcycle that was very wobbly and couldn't pass a field sobriety test.
Did he go to jail?
I think he was booked. Yeah, he was definitely booked with a DWI, but it happened months ago. This happened in November, and he pops up with a Super Bowl commercial. I remember when, like, those are kind of offenses, you would need a full PR campaign, and it would just be generally a bigger deal.
His PR campaign is, I'm the boss, and I was just taking pictures. I was on my motorcycle. Yeah. I'm going to do a podcast with Barack Obama.
I think it should be whenever he gets pulled over by a cop or he's in a bad PR situation, just start singing Born in the USA. That's it. He gets off on everything.
Well, did you guys see the DUI number that Johnny Damon came in at?
Yes, it was like triple, right?
It was more than triple. It was, wow. I believe it was 0.30, which is just something that melts the breathalyzer. Like you get out of the car and the breathalyzer starts melting.
So it was a home run.
What? Heart's out.
You look a little tipsy. Me? No, I was just dancing in the dark. I think he's just so supremely overrated in my
eyes. Sounds like Dan's Kevin Harlan.
Yeah. When you go to Hummer, you gotta use it. It is like a, that does sound like a Springsteen lyric. When you got the hammer, you gotta use it.
That'd be a funny bit.
When you got the hammer, everyone knows you gotta use it.
Can you sing right between the eyes?
I ain't nothing but rhyme between the eyes.
I do love it. I want you to imagine Bruce Springsteen being pulled over and then just breaking into some gravelly song. License and registration.
And I'm not doing a podcast with Spotify. I've got a deceptive last name.
Sounds like you're trying to take a shit.
I don't know why Italians like me so much.
They do. And sports writers, too.
I don't know why every sports writer loves me so much. Maybe it's my lyrical content. Maybe it's Steve Vincent. Take it away.
It's not for me. I've tried so much.
I'm just working in a factory.
Even though I didn't.
Even though I didn't, I'm just relatable.
I wear jeans.
Who the f*** is this music for?
He's the guy from The Sopranos.
But he's got a wig in that show and it takes you 5 years to realize it's just my guitarist.
Cody, you love that. You love Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, no?
I do love Bruce Springsteen. This is blasphemy to hear.
Yes. Of course you do.
I do. And you know what? To Stu Gatz's point, Bruce Springsteen's last couple of albums, including the latest one, Western Stars, pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. It's the same Bruce Springsteen. He's not reinventing the wheel.
Is he doing splits? Is he still doing splits at 71 on stage?
No, not the last concert I saw. I think his music is aging well. I really do.
Well, no, he's aging well.
He's aging well.
The Broadway play he did, and now the podcast with Obama.
All my fans look like Huck Spencer.
That is such a good visual joke. All my fans look like Clark Spencer.
Clark Spencer, who's now retired. I think he's in a horse racing game. The only guy that was like, you know what my Twitter avatar is going to be? A picture of me, but from 20 years ago. I never understood, like, why is your picture in black and white? Like,
Cody is friends with Clark Spencer.
Another Greg Cody Show guest.
Yeah, he's been on my pod to talk about horse racing, actually. He bought a piece of a racehorse that is actually making money for him and doing pretty well, Gouverneur Morris. And good for him, you know. It's a good way to spend the pandemic, you know, invest in a horse, get 5% of a racehorse that, if not for an injury, I think would have been in the Kentucky Derby this past year.
What is it about the newspaper game that everyone has 15-year-old photos? Because Dan's was mummified for a long time.
Dude.
Like, do you guys just not go in for photo shoots very often? I don't understand.
I did that when I was a kid. I did one photo shoot when I was in my 20s, and I never took another professional photo like that again in my life because look at how ridiculous it is. So All yeah, right, Cody? Like, that was all those photos of us were taken that one year. We all went in, we marched in, took our photos, and they just keep using them 30 years later.
Absolutely. I haven't been into the Miami Herald office back when the Miami Herald had an office and before it went remote for literally 5 years. I barely know where the building is or was. It's crazy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.